Yet, we still hear a noise. He's not playing his own tune anymore because he's dead, but it's a worse noise than it ever was before. Because almost everybody, except for Noah and his family, were now playing different tunes. Until the flood came and wiped out all the instruments that were not playing the right tune. And so the flood restored it all back to the correct melody and a beautiful harmony. And so the question arises, why was God angry at the sons of God marrying the daughters of men? To find the answer, we need to first know who the sons of God and the daughters of men were. I was taught, and then I taught others, that the sons of God were angels, and that the Nephilim were their offspring. I have come to change my viewpoint on this, as I examined and studied it further for myself. I have become convinced that the sons of God could not have been angels. For those of you who want to study that further, I'm going to list the reasons why I have come to that conclusion. Number one, Jesus said that angels do not marry. Matthew 22 verse 30 and Mark 12 verse 25. Number two, according to the writer of Hebrews, God never called any angel son. Hebrews 1 verse 5. Number 3. We looked at this in part 15 of the study. A son is given his father's name. Angels are never called by the name of God. Number 4. A son has an inheritance. We also saw that in part 15 of the study. But angels do not have any inheritance from God. Number 5. If angels are sons of God, then that would make them co-heirs with Christ. Angels are not his co-heirs. We are. Number 6. If angels used to be sons of God and no longer are, then why were they demoted? How could it be possible for God to no longer be their father? God doesn't divorce himself from his children. Number 7. If the Nephilim were the children of the union of angels and people, they would have been destroyed by the flood. If so, how do they appear after the flood too? In Numbers 13 verse 33. Number 8. If God was angry at people for intermarrying with angels, why was he not angry with the angels too? The Genesis account only shows him as being angry at men. Number 9. If angels are sons of God, then that would make the devil a son of God too, or a former son of God, because he is a fallen angel. That is what the Mormons believe, that Jesus and Satan are brothers. That is complete heresy. The Word of God does not support that at all. Satan was an angel, not a son of God. In part 8 of the study, we looked at the great promise of resurrection and how there are two creations. The old creation, which was created in Genesis 1, and the new creation, which started with Jesus, who is the firstborn from the dead. We saw that, although the completion of the new creation is in the future, we live in its reality today because we are in Christ. We also saw that being born into the old creation through Adam makes you a son of man, while being born into the new creation through Jesus Christ makes you a son of God. Paul describes this beautifully. I'm going to read to you from Romans 8, verse 19 to 22. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. It is at the end of this age, the end of this world, when the world is recreated, as we see in Revelation 21, that the sons of God shall be revealed. There will be no more sin, sickness, pain, suffering, or death. Once again, everything will be the way that God designed it to be. And just before that happens, Jesus said that it will be just like in the days of Noah. As we've seen before, when we used the illustration of a timeline and an umbrella to represent God's everlasting covenant with mankind, people before and after the days of Abraham and Jesus were all covered by the shade of the same umbrella, which is the covenant. The same way that you and I enter into covenant with God, thereby becoming his children, is the same way that Abraham and all those others who came before us did, by calling on his name. Romans 10 verse 13 tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling upon his name is not simply praying or speaking his name. If it was, then many demons would be saved. Isaiah says in chapter 64 verse 7, as he is lamenting over Israel's rebellion against God, there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. He was summing up the general sinful state of the people at the time. However, he provides good insight in this verse about what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. It is an act of stirring oneself as if from sleep to take hold of God. It is not passive acceptance of God. Instead, it's an aggressive grabbing hold of God and attaching yourself to him. And this is what covenant is all about. Covenant is all about becoming one with another. When you attach or bind or join yourself to someone, you are uniting yourself with them. And thus, to call upon the name of the Lord means to become one with him in covenant union. Adoption is also a covenant issue. We discuss that further when we look at the Passover. In natural adoption, the adoptive parents choose the child they wish to adopt. The child really has no say in the matter. But when you are adopted by God, it is very different. Firstly, God has chosen every single human being on this planet to be adopted by him. However, what makes this adoption different to a natural adoption is that it depends entirely on whether or not the adoptive children want God to be their father. God has done everything he can to adopt every person on this earth. However, this adoption only becomes legal when the children grab onto God as their father, taking hold of his name for themselves. This covenant union makes you a son of God. Romans 8 verse 12 to 17 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, that is the old creation, to live according to the flesh, the old creation. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That is the new creation, which is eternal. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, These are sons of God, belonging to the new creation. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's Daddy. The adoption covenant makes us his children. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And that's speaking of the resurrection.